Welcome to the 67th edition of Make Pro Wrestling Majestic Again. I am Tiger Height.
And I am Peanut Gallery.
So we're going to be talking about wrestling schools. We're going to talk about history, the structure, basically what you're looking for if you want to go into it. But before we really dive deep into our topic, we are not going to be having a show next week. We'll be out of town.
We'll be out of town. No show.
Nope.
No reason to either. There's no pay-per-view next weekend.
Right. So there's not really anything going on there. But let's talk about, in a general sense, of wrestling school.
Right. So first off, what is a wrestling school?
It is a place where you go to be trained to become a professional wrestler.
Pretty obvious, right? But we also want to kind of go a little bit deeper into wrestling schools, like its history, the structure, you know, and how it developed and evolved over time.
Right.
So professional wrestling, obviously, wrestling schools were not around until long after professional wrestling became a thing.
Here's the thing. You would be very surprised about that.
Right.
And we'll get into it after the break and everything.
Okay.
But let's talk about, like, any sort of general drills. What should people expect when they go into a wrestling school?
So, yeah. So wrestling schools are designed for people who have no experience in wrestling or very little experience in wrestling
to learn
the ropes, if you want to put it that way.
Right, and there are different styles and methods that these companies do. I mean, when we go into the history, I'll be talking about different kinds of wrestling schools and how they were done before there was a structure or a building that they physically did it in without physically renting it. But if you want to have more American style, if you want more strong style, each of them are going to have a different flair.
Right.
And really, if you want to go into wrestling, you have to think, where do I see myself at the end of the day?
Right.
What style?
What kind of companies do I want to work with?
Right.
What kind of style do I want to work with?
Because it's very important.
Right.
Because the style that if you go down to Mexico to be trained to be a luchador is going to be much different than what you would get at the Monster Factory, as an example.
Right. But fundamentally, the skill set that you're learning are going to be the same. Like, you are going to learn, you're going to learn things such as ring knowledge, taking bumps,
promo cutting.
And
at some point in time, depending on where you want to do it, it will also be based on character work.
Yep.
And each company does that very differently.
Right. But fundamentally, you're getting yourself into a ring. You're learning how to give and take bumps. You know, you're learning different methodologies of hitting that don't involve you actually physically hurting somebody. You learn how to sell. And then you also learn some of the more complicated techniques that utilize bits and pieces of the rope. So, you know, who tends to open wrestling schools?
So there have been a wide range of people that have opened up wrestling schools. Obviously, you have wrestlers opening up wrestling schools. Managers have opened up wrestling schools. Martial artists have opened up wrestling schools. So it really just depends, and you know, we're gonna get into it when we talk about the history of different characters and different individuals who have done it differently. But generally, you want a wrestler doing it because they will know the structure that they want to accomplish with it. And even back in the day, when I talk about that, the wrestlers taught new wrestlers.
Right.
But it was just different than, like, what we see now with that.
Like, I know that most professional wrestling schools, at least here in the United States, are run by either semi-retired or fully retired professional wrestlers.
Right, like Danny Cage with the Monster Factory. Santino Marella has the one in Canada.
Yeah.
You have Booker T and Stevie Ray's wrestling school down in Texas. So
doesn't Shawn Michaels still run his own wrestling school?
No. He does NXT full time.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Shawn Michaels had a wrestling school,
yeah,
but it but there was something that he couldn't really teach that came naturally to him.
Yeah.
The stories are there for that kind of stuff.
Right. And I guess then the next thing is why is there a need for wrestling schools? And I think we've touched on it a little bit just because of all the technique that goes into it. But
it's about safety overall. Right. The thing is that you don't want to go into a ring without knowing how it feels, how it looks on the inside. And when you're working, you want to make you have a responsibility as a professional wrestler to not only ensure your safety, but the safety of your competitor.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, well, it's fake. It's scripted. But actually, I think the trust and the integrity of a wrestler legitimately giving their body to you.
Right.
To work with, to do this performance is so important. And wrestling schools, albeit different for each place, the fundamental responsibility of safety is always going to be apparent. And then also, when you come into this structure, it's not just that. It's finding yourself. It's finding a wrestling style. It's almost like college.
Right.
When, like, you and I went to university, it wasn't really more so of the actual stuff that was taught in the school. It was what we got out of the stuff around it.
Right. I mean, the experience. Like when you write a research paper, for example, you're not learning about the subject matter. The subject matter is just a piece of it. You're really doing a lot of other things that teach you about lessons that you can then apply to life.
Right. And in wrestling schools, it's the same fundamental principle.
Right.
It's safety, it's cooperation, it's trust, it's camaraderie, getting with certain coworkers, because when you are a professional wrestler, you have to have that certain level maybe not necessarily liking them, but that certain level of trust.
Even if you're in a feud,
right.
You have to learn how to trust that individual. Yeah.
And also, you know, it's not just that. It's, you know, getting to work out in maybe even a thing that you enjoy. I mean, each individual, each place will have a designated gym or like for rehabilitation, for conditioning. And it really teaches you that discipline that I think is necessary to become a professional wrestler going into the ring. There has to be discipline and trust and integrity at the end of the day.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think the last piece that I would like to go over is how does one get into professional wrestling school, and then what can they expect? I mean, obviously, most professional wrestling schools have an application process.
Right.
A lot of them also require certain I know that in WWE's case, they require a lot more. They actually require wrestling experience in order to even be enrolled into their NXT wrestling school. But they do have a training center where non-wrestlers go, but they do require some form of athletic background.
Right, and especially Monster Factory. I like going back to Monster Factory because they're one of the oldest actual professional wrestling schools in like the United States.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the differences in styles with the Monster Factory when I get to my part. But there are open workouts and trials, and WWE does it. Monster Factory posts it more.
Right.
Like, people can go in there and work out and get a very rudimentary skill set.
Right.
Or, like, this is what you're going to experience. Right. And
it's kind of like going to, like, a fraternal club, for example. Like we can speak from our experiences as Freemasons. Like, you just have to kind of get in there and become a part of it.
You have to be involved in the culture. Right, yeah. We're Masons. We had to do that when we were initiated into the order.
Yeah.
But it's very much the same thing. And there's only a limited amount of time per year that certain wrestling schools do it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how often Monster Factory does it because I've never been a person who wanted to be a professional wrestler.
Right.
Like, at all. Maybe when I was younger, yes. But at least for right now, no.
Right.
But when you get in there, it's the fundamentals, having some sort of conditioning.
Yep.
And then you're right, the application process. And that is very important because with wrestlers, you have to go in there with a certain, even personality traits to make sure that you're there. And
you have to show you know, a certain amount of
You have to show
strength.
That you want it. You have to be there when they do the open tryouts. You have to, you know, be there to ask questions. You have to be physically there, and that's what really they're looking for. You just don't walk in, have an application, pay some money, and then you're good.
Right.
I mean, it does cost. I think a Monster Factory costs about $4,000, if
and,
I'm not
and
mistaken.
And it's also something like the Army, too. Like, you have to pass physical examinations. You have to pass... you have to at least have some personality because you're going to become a wrestler, a character, more, so to speak. You know, you have to know, again, it's not just the physical strength, it's also the stamina and the mental strength to kind of get through it as well.
Yeah, wrestling is a daunting job.
It is.
It's very daunting. There's a lot happening at the same time.
Very taxing on the body.
Yep.
And that can affect you.
Yep, and they prepare you for that with these. So we definitely recommend going to a... I mean, 100% going to a wrestling school.
If you desire to become a professional wrestler, you must go into a wrestling school these days.
Or even talk to an independent trainer who does it from their house. Because we'll be talking about that as well. Because they still do exist.
Yeah. They exist all over the place.
Right.
And a lot of these wrestling schools have gotten a lot more sophisticated over here, especially with the rise of the internet. Like, there are actually points in time when you will be on television and you will be in front of crowds. And so you have to
Monster Factory does shows in their wrestling school. And that's just something that you're going to have to be accustomed to. You're performing in front of people.
Right.
You have to have some sort of theater finesse to do this.
Right.
And the schools are going to train you to know what to do, to know how to do it.
Exactly.
And getting all of that down is very important. So don't even bother stepping into a ring until you do that. We don't want another mass transit incident here.
Right. And see, I think that because of incidents like that, I think wrestling companies have been a little more stringent with who they allow into the ring.
Yep, because that stuff puts people in jeopardy, not for just that one person, but for the wrestlers that they're facing, for the crowd as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just never a good thing to just hop into a ring, even if they say, I'm putting on a professional wrestling show in front of people. If you want to buy a ring and mess around with it in the backyard, fucking go for it. Like, that's totally fine. But I'm talking about if you want to... If that's what your profession is, go to school.
Right.
And that's really all I have to say about that matter.
Right.
So when we come back, we're going to be talking about like the history of it. And then from that point, we're going to have an open-ended discussion to kind of wrap up the show. So when we come back, we're going to get into it. All right, we are back. And so let's talk about more with professional wrestling schools.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we have to go back to when wrestling was a little more organized with Farmer Martin Burns.
Yeah.
And what he would do, and this is generally...
And what time period are we talking here?
This is 1920s, 1930s.
Okay,
because
so...
Because this is Frank Gotch, and this is Farmer Burns.
So this was while professional wrestling was being done through the carnival circuits.
It was from carnival into more mainstream.
Right.
So
a couple weeks ago, we did talk about the first promotions and the rise of professional wrestling promotions.
It
occurred in about the 1920s. So
Exactly.
They kind of formed at the same time.
Right. And Farmer Burns, and once again, a lot of these were there, is that it was not necessarily... based on like a school, it was based on training certain aspects, and individual wrestlers would take on certain pupils.
Right.
So, for instance, Farmer Burns only took really Frank Gotch and I think a couple of other people, but that was pretty much it.
So, were these schools? So, was this school training wrestlers, the wrestlers themselves, or were they training people to face off against the wrestlers? Like
this was. Where, because how this happened was Farmer Burns beat Frank Gotch, but he saw the potential.
Right.
So he decided to take him on the road around with Burns, and Burns was teaching him on the road because there wasn't like an established school.
Right.
That never existed because there weren't established promotions at this time to have something like that.
Okay.
So really, and each wrestler was going to take in different people. Right. And really, because at this time, it wasn't like professional wrestling that we know it. This was still strong man, take me down, right, however you
and,
can.
And that's kind of what my thoughts in my head are. So that's why I was...
Yeah,
that's
but this was one of the first instances, at least in North America, of like a person training somebody to be a pro wrestler.
Right.
And, you know, Lou Fez used to do it every now and then. Mae Young did it. You know, she trained women to wrestle around World War II because there were no men to do it. Because everybody was fighting in the war.
Right.
Now, Killer Kowalski kind of came from that same line of thinking because the height of his era was like the 50s, 60s.
Yeah.
So when he retired in 1977, he established the Killer Kowalski School in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And he trained people up until like 20, like a very, very, very long list of people who have trained under Killer Kowalski.
Like he trained the crop that came up in the 80s, right? Like Roddy Pipers of the world and stuff
like
that.
He trained Triple H. He trained China. He trained Big John Studd. He trained Damian Sandow. He trained Tommaso Ciampa. So that's how extensive Killer Kowalski trained
people.
Yeah,
Killer Kowalski, his school, I think, is still around. But
no, as soon as he passed away, operation ceased.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So there was nobody who really
took over.
It was a
very famous wrestling school.
Oh, yeah, no. If you got into Killer Kowalski's school, you made it. Because what he would do was he would take the new crop of the best trainees to larger independent shows, and he would allow them to work out in the ring before the shows to basically showcase the new crop of talent to promoters.
So would this be like a real wrestling school in the traditional sense, or is this
this was a wrestling school in the traditional sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was actually like a building and people who were complete novices could go into it and graduate through the system to eventually go to
It was a little bit harder with Kowalski because you had to be referred by a person who was already in the school to actually train and even be stepped in the doors. How this was going to work was in
true Freemason style.
Yep. Now, what you could do when Killer Kowalski took the top students out and had them train in a promotion, that's when people outside of the Kowalski circle got in because they would go to the show and basically be test dummies for Kowalski's guys to train, to work out, and to do everything. So that's when you had the opportunity to get into his good graces.
And the other thing, too, about this is that isn't this kind of also about the same time? Didn't he essentially create the jobber class?
Yep,
he did. Like, he created jobbers. Because if you think about it, jobbers, the people who lose easily to large guys to build clout for those large guys, very often are students of wrestling schools. I mean, Nia Jax's first match against Britt Baker, that was when Britt Baker was in a wrestling school.
Yeah, no, that's what those are. And, you know, indie guys, people who are in there. But yeah, what he would do was take these people in there, and he would have some of the smaller trainees as well, and they would have matches within these promotions because he had good working relationships with the big promotions because it was Killer Kowalski.
Right.
Killer Kowalski is a huge name in professional wrestling, especially in North America and in Canada. So he would get people from across the border to come and train at his school or even have the opportunity to do so. But, you know, he was, like I said, he was the one who actually established a hierarchy, a program, and everything to get in there. But it was just really hard to get in, just like Freemasons.
Right.
Let's talk about the Monster Factory. We mentioned it
because this is the most famous one that exists today, right?
Yep.
This is the most famous modern one. You also have a ton of wrestling schools. Another one I can think of is the Rhodes Wrestling Academy, because that's where all the AEW trainees go.
Yep, the Rhodes Wrestling Academy. You had the Power Plant for WCW. Mm-hmm. You have the Performance Center for obviously WWE. So there are a couple of different places. OVW is another one, but it's like a pseudo promotion.
Right. They kind of skirt the line. They were a wrestling school, and then now they're kind of a mix of both. I don't know.
Right, exactly. So
Border City Wrestling. Wrestling has wrestling school attached yep. to it as well. Because that's
Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestling. Yep. They have a Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestling Academy yep, out in
FSW.
Colorado.
Yep. The one here.
Yep.
Chris Bay came from that.
Yep. FSW, a ton of people coming from there. But, you know, a lot of them are Monster Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And Monster Factory trained the big people. And right. here's the thing. There were two different versions of the Monster Factory. There was one that was opened up in 1983 by Larry Sharp
mm-hmm.
and – yeah, Larry Sharp and Buddy Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And they trained some of the in the past people. So the first crop of pupils that came out of the original Monster Factory – or Tony Atlas, King Kong Bundy, Bam Bam Bigelow.
Wow.
So, and then he trained other people just very much in that area, and they used to train in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the building was burned to the ground, and they continued to do it, but they had to rent out certain spaces
yeah.
to continue. Now, in 2011, Danny Cage, who was a coach at the Monster Factory, actually purchased the rights to the name and everything, and that's when it was called the World Famous Monster Factory, which is what we know of today.
Right. And so this is still based out of New York. Mm-hmm. They moved to New Jersey.
This is New Jersey.
Yeah, that's yeah.
When Danny Cage purchased it, he moved it to New Jersey because that's where obviously he is from.
Mm-hmm.
So people who kind of mowed through here, Colt Cabana. Mm-hmm. Now this is from 2011 on. So Colt Cabana, Sheamus, Matt Riddle, Kevin Kelly, what's his name? Rip Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
So there were definitely some big names that went through Monster Factory
yeah.
and people who are going through, Keith Lee went through Monster Factory. So a good crop of talent going through there. And they're still available. They still do it.
Yeah.
Monster Factory does the open tryouts for anybody who wants to participate. I think there is a cover charge to do that, but be prepared to work out because
yeah.
It's very famous. There's a very famous thing. It's called it's called a trash can roulette, and you basically
yep.
run into a circle until obviously you throw up into one of the trash cans. It's very famous for the Monster Factory. They've done that for a very long time.
All right.
So Monster Factory is a good one. I would personally recommend going through the Monster Factory system if you want like a really high quality.
They do produce quality stars.
Right.
Like,
and I'm not
numbers.
Also, here's the other thing too. If you want to go through a smaller wrestling school to get into the Monster Factory, you can do that as
yeah.
well because the Monster Factory will go to other smaller wrestling schools to kind of take a look at others.
To scout talent.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, that's how Sheamus and Matt Riddle got in there.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go across the pond to England with the Snake Pit.
Oh, I've heard of, so this is the big one in the UK. I've
yes.
heard about this.
Yes, the Snake Pit was established by Billy Riley,
mm-hmm.
and he trained some incredibly popular wrestlers, such as Billy Robinson and Jack Gallagher. Gentleman Jack Gallagher went through the
mm-hmm.
Snake Pit. You had, Johnny Saint
mm-hmm.
went through this. Tommy End briefly went through the Snake Pit. But it was taken over by Billy Robinson. Now, Billy Robinson is the more famous of the two trainers.
Yeah.
And he still trains people to this day.
Okay.
But some of the people that he trained were the Jack Gallagher, like
right.
I said. Ric Flair went through the Snake Pit back in the day. The Iron Sheik, who was actually in Ric Flair's class...
Huh.
Went through the Snake Pit. Shayna Baszler went through the Snake Pit. And there were a bunch of others that did. So that's just kind of like a brief history synopsis of different ones. And I know I skipped the LA Dojo and all
right,
of that.
Right, right.
But
let's talk about that too. Because obviously the LA Dojo, for example, they train in a little bit of a different style. They do,
right.
they do the Japanese. So if you want to learn the Japanese style of wrestling, you go to that school.
Right. You know, Juice Robinson, after he left NXT and WWE, he went over to Japan to work there, and
mm-hmm.
he was a member of the dojo.
Mm-hmm.
And what you would do with the dojo is that they're essentially the extras
yeah.
To protect people and to set up the ring and take it down.
Right.
And after a while of getting the fundamentals, you are taken on excursion.
Yeah.
Now, there aren't a lot of people who do excursion like New Japan does. Because
no.
when you do excursion with, New Japan, you are sponsored.
Right.
And that is when you develop your character, is when you are exposed to a different area to get that work. So, like Juice Robinson went to the United States to adequate himself back into the Graces. I can't remember what promotions he wrestled in, but he became that flamboyant character that we know and love now. Tetsuya Naito, when he went on excursion, he went down to Mexico.
Right, and that's where most Inmamables come
from. It's so weird. It doesn't sound like it sounds like you're doing that on purpose. Like, well, it's weird.
Yeah. Anyways, so let's talk about WWE. Obviously, they have their own system.
Yep.
They have their own wrestling school. They just, you know, obviously we know how this works because they're very public about like their tryouts and then
you have the NIL, which is not like people who are signed to WWE contracts already that go there, but you can obviously go to the school and train through the traditional route if you want. I just know it's a lot harder to do it that way.
Oh yeah, it is. And you know, of course, they have their standards. They used to go through different types. They used to go through different schools, like outside schools where they didn't own the system.
Right.
Like OVW, which is very well known as a good
Smoky Mountain Wrestling was a wrestling school as well.
Yep.
And
Deep South Wrestling.
Right. And don't think that the exclusivity of their own performance center means that you cannot get into WWE without.
Right.
I mean, Shayna Baszler went through NXT. I mean, she was trained in the Snake Pit, and Matt Riddle and Sheamus were trained at the Monster Factory.
Right.
So if you're like a huge standout guy, you'll be fine.
Right.
Don't think you have to be into the Performance Center to be contracted to wrestle with WWE.
Right. It's just easier if you are trained through their Performance Center to kind of get yourself in there. But yeah, there are a lot of current superstars who were not trained at the WWE Performance Center, although we're starting to see that trend kind of go that way. So, you know, maybe it'll be privy to do so. Same with AEW. They scout a lot of talent from outside of their own system.
Right. And now, maybe if you are a person who's working in the indies and WWE say, hey, we want you in there, it would be probably a good idea to go through the Performance Center stuff to make sure that you get the WWE style. Because that's how WWE does it. They train you in the style that they want you to do.
Right.
Obviously, it's different now because Mr. McMahon is no longer in charge, but I think it even bleeds down to them. So... Right.
So, I mean, overall, wrestling schools.
Wrestling schools are they're a dime a dozen. There are so many different wrestling schools out there. I think there are at least 15 in New Jersey alone.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, very crazy. And you don't have to go into the biggest one ever, but just be dedicated to that profession and you'll be fine. At the end of the day, that's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. Go through a wrestling school. Do not... You know, just don't hop in the ring because you're going to get hurt.
Right, exactly. So, there's a purpose and a reason for them.
Right.
With the complications of
if you want to be
wrestling today.
If you want to be a professional wrestler, be a professional.
Right. Go to school.
Exactly.
Learn the craft.
So, Peanut Gallery, we're not going to be here next week.
Nope.
Just keep that in mind. We're going to be out of town. Don't think that there's going to be a show next week.
Yep.
But when we come back... Depending on how we're feeling from the trip home, we're going to be covering the G1 finals.
Yeah.
But it really just depends.
It really just depends. You know, I don't know that we'll do it match by match, but, you know, that's a problem for future Peanut Gallery. It's not a problem for current Peanut Gallery.
Right. So if you did enjoy the video or the podcast, remember to like, follow, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Become a patron. We just redid it. We have hats. They're at the ready. And hopefully we can get those samples soon. But, as always, be
majestic.